Good morning, SP family, and to those joining us online. I'm going to share today's devotion, and it's on continual unity and prayer. And so I've been going through the book of Acts and just examining every prayer that occurred through the book of Acts. And I've just been amazed at just how diverse prayer is. And in that, and in seeing just the diversity of just a prayer and just how wonderful it is, I've realized just how I've limited prayer and put it in a box in some way. And so I want to share with you one of the things that I've been challenging recently in terms of prayer. And so I want to read today from Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. So Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it says that, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers." And so just to give you some scripture context for this verse is that Jesus' followers have just gone through an emotional, mental roller coaster, you could say, that they went through the process of losing Jesus to the soldiers, to seeing him on the cross and him dying and mourning his death, to then witnessing his resurrection, to then having Jesus with them for a few days, and then once again seeing Jesus ascend into the clouds and into the heavens. So you can imagine their emotional and mental state of being with Jesus during those last few months. And so they returned to Jerusalem and they remained gathered there together to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus had commanded them. If we remember from Acts chapter 1, it says, Jesus says, to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in their waiting, they gathered together and prayed. It says they were continually united in prayer. And so the question I ask is, what can we learn from the disciples in this moment of their lives as they wait for God's promise in prayer? And I noticed that there were three things that stood out to me: were there is individual private prayer, but there is also corporate prayer that brings us together. That there are prayers we often pray once or twice, but there are prayers that we continue to pray until we see them answered or until they're no longer a prayer. And there are prayers that unite us as well. So I really just have three points. And in each point, I just want to share the challenge and the beauty of that. And so my three points are really corporate prayer, continual prayer, and united prayer. So the challenge of corporate prayer for many of us is, I think many of us sometimes are tempted into isolation. That we feel that this is a private prayer that I'm going to pray by myself. That I don't really need anyone else to pray this with me. And so we often neglect inviting others to pray with us, or we neglect the need for us to pray with others. And so the challenge for us when it comes to corporate prayer can sometimes be our isolation, or maybe even our shame that we don't want to share our prayer Because we all know what James says. James says, confess your sins one another and you'll find healing. But we'll find that our shame sometimes holds us back from being united with others in corporate prayer. However, the beauty of corporate prayer is that it brings us together. It solidifies us. It shows that there's a solidarity between one another. And so there's a beauty that when I am able to say to someone else, hey, I need prayer in my life. Will you pray with me? And that person can come alongside me and say, hey, I will stand with you in prayer. And that brings that togetherness that we can walk with one another. That it gives the individual knowing that they are not alone in their walk with God, that they can have others with them. So that's the beauty and the challenge of corporate prayer. Now we have continual prayer. And I think I'm definitely guilty of being challenged by continual prayer. You know, you'll hear a message on prayer and the pastor might say, I want to challenge you for the next 7 weeks to pray every day. And you're like, yeah, I will do that continually for the next 7 weeks. And maybe, normally I'm like, by the third day, I'm like, oh, I'm done. You know, and so there's a challenge with continual prayer that we're having to fight through our feelings of doubt that maybe after we've committed to praying for one particular thing in our lives, that doubt begins to happen in our lives, that we become discouraged and disappointed. We're automatically just crying out like, Jesus, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And it's only the second day of prayer. And so there's a challenge of committing to something in our lives to continually pray. And so, but we also find the beauty of being continually in prayer. And I think one of the beauties of being continually in prayer is that as we pray continually and persistently, we end up finding God that when we are able to push through, that we find God even whether our prayer is answered or unanswered. And also, continual prayer also unifies us with others. So that brings me to my next point, which is united prayer. The challenge of united prayer is unity. Is that we are all individuals with different stories, with different ways of viewing how things should be. And normally when we say we want unity, it has to be conform to our personal view of unity. And even prayer, even bringing in someone else to unite with you about prayer can be difficult sometimes. Because I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer circle and everyone's about to pray for the exact same thing. And then someone prays something that for you, you're like, oh, I don't know if I could say amen to that. That sounds theologically different. Well, I don't know if I would have prayed it that way. And there's already a disunity in that prayer. And so the challenge of unity in prayer is just unity. But at the same time, that's also the beauty of being united in prayer is that it's found in the collective individuals coming together for a common purpose. And that's what we saw in the book of Acts, is that they were united together for a common purpose. What was that purpose in the book of Acts? Them waiting on the promise of the Father for the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have the full details of the story of Acts, but I don't know how each individual was praying and so forth, but we know that they were continually united in prayer. And so I want to, as I was going through this devotion, I just started writing a bunch of reflection questions that I think can be helpful to us in our lives. And maybe there some of these questions speak to you. One of the questions I wrote is, what holds me back from praying corporately with others? Do you find yourself that you're mostly praying by yourself and not inviting others to pray with you? And if that's the case, have you ever asked yourself, why do I do that? You know, if the Bible talks about being continually united with others in prayers, why do I struggle in my life to invite others to pray with me? Another is also, is there something God is calling me to invite or join into prayer continually and united? Okay? Continually and united. And I think for me, this one is always a challenge. Is not just to say, not just saying once someone, not just going to someone and saying, hey, can you pray for me? But being able to go to someone and say, hey, can you commit with me for a season in my life to pray continually for this thing? How's your corporate prayer life? Praying with others, united in prayer? Am I willing to pray continually? If there's something in your heart, or if there's something in my heart, is that something that I want and that I'm willing to commit to pray continually? Or is it just something that, oh, I'll pray to it whenever I have time, or I'll pray to it whenever the desire comes up, but this commitment to say, I will continually pray for this. And also in this season of waiting, what do I find myself doing? You know, because Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father. I don't know if maybe in private he said, hey, as you're waiting, wait in prayer. I don't know if he said those extra words, but from what we have from Scripture, it just says, hey, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples responded in their waiting to prayer. And so the question I ask myself, in the seasons when God has called me to wait, am I praying? Am I being active in prayer? Or am I just being passively waiting and just completely waiting? But here we see that the disciples, they responded to Jesus' command to wait by being in prayer. Also, are you willing to commit with others to pray continually? I think it's not just about looking towards ourselves and saying, oh, I want others to, I wish I had others in my life that I can go to in prayer that could continually be united with me. But also, am I willing to be that for others? If someone comes up to me and says, hey, I would love to pray for the salvation of my mom in this season. Would you join me for the next 6 months or the next year? I don't know, whatever. Or maybe it's not even that long. But they say, hey, would you just join me for the next 6 weeks to continually pray for them? You know, there's something to be said in that when we could offer ourselves to be united for someone else's prayer and continually pray. Not just, oh, who can unite with me for my need of prayer, but can I be united with someone else continually in their lives? And so we all need those people in our lives, just as importantly that we need to be that for others. And so just as a reflection is, who are the people in your lives that you can bring together and they can stand with you to continually be united in prayer? And I think that's one of the beauties about having a house church and cultivating those relationships within a house church, is that we can have a community that we can go to and say, hey, in this season, can you continually pray with me? And so one of the things here as well that I just want to finish with is that they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so that got me thinking, what are some promises that I can hold to when I pray? And there's really three promises that really for me are things that I really hold dear, that I really contend with God whenever I'm struggling. And for me is, one of them is from Hebrews chapter 4:16, where it says, Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace of help in time of need. Another one is Psalm 34:18. Is that whenever I'm feeling down, I hold on to the promise that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And then another promise from Jeremiah is that if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And the reason why these promises are so important is going back to the book of Acts, is Jesus says, wait for the promise of the Father of the Holy Spirit. He says, hold on to that promise because that promise will come. And so when I hold on to these promises, whenever I struggle and I maybe there's a day where I show up to prayer and I say, God, I can't find you. Whatever, my thoughts are everywhere and I feel I can't sense your presence. I remind myself of his promises where it says, hey, if you seek me, you will find me. And that I have the confidence and the boldness to enter into the presence of God. And so with that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. And just what it means that you call us sometimes in seasons not to pray alone, but to pray with others. And so, Father, I pray for maybe those that have been praying alone, that you would put a community around them that they can go to and be united in prayer with. And also awaken our hearts for those that have no one. And you're calling us to be that person to someone else, to be united and continually pray for them in this season. So let's reflect for a few moments as Thaddeus comes up and leads us in worship.
Enough for me. everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Yeah, Father, thank you for these moments that we have with you and with one another to continually come together united in prayer. Amen. Let's pray for those that have cancer and are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for those that have illness and in need of salvation. Pray for those that have infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs and opportunity. Let's pray for those in missions. Let's pray for the board. For our fellowships that are happening. Pray for SB 2.0. Let's pray for the house churches that are gathering today. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Yeah, Father, we thank you for this morning, that we could come together and be united in prayer. And so, Father, we pray for our city. We pray for those in leadership, that you would bring revival to this city. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. You have some time to spend on your own prayer. See you guys next time.